We are on session five, and I've titled it, this is Shameless Audacity or the Law of Perseverance. And I have probably, this will probably be the one that has the most notes. I do have 5 pages. I told Drew yesterday, look out, I have as many pages as you do. This is the one subject as we're walking through that I've had the most experience with, because I feel like I've had to live with so many of the things that I've been believing in my life I've had to stand and persevere in prayer. And so I do feel like the Lord's really shown me a lot in that. So this has, it's going to look like, what does this have to do with persevering in prayer? Because I'm going to start with, when we first get a word from the Lord or a promise from the Lord, or we believe in the Lord for something, where we go from there to months later, why hasn't it come forth? Did I hear you wrong? So I'm kind of taking us to the beginning of when we get a word, and then we're going to walk through how to carry it well, how to believe for it, how to stand in that place, and then when we need to step into that shameless audacity where we just don't give up, we just keep pressing in, we just don't stop, what does it look like for that to carry us to have the word manifested in our life? So I want to just start with the intro, as you see there, is how to carry a word or promise. It matters greatly how we carry it. So I'm going to give you very quick, this is going to be the 2-minute version of the story of this building. And the first little point there is that we did a pray and seek. So before we got this building, we were meeting at HHOP in Council Bluffs. After the House of Prayer left the hub, we landed there waiting for the Lord to show us where we were to go. We took an afternoon and we went over to King of Kings, our team, and Drew and I got in the car. And the rest of the team, there were, I think, 4 others sitting at the little prayer room at King of Kings. And we were going to just sit in the parking lot and wait for directions to be given to us, words to be given to us as they sought the Lord in prayer. There was no communication via phone. It was just via text. So we sat in the parking lot and we would get turn left. So we'd turn left. And then we just wrote down all the clues that came in. One was ocean. One, you know, turn right, go straight, numbers, flowers, green triangles. Like all of these, we had like 35 or more of these little signs. And we just drove around. We would stay on the path until a clue would come in. And then we would follow that clue. We'd look for the clue. And then that's how we asked the Lord, show us where we're to be. Wow. We ended up circling around 84th Street to 72nd, but we seemed to be between like Pacific and Center. That was where we landed. So I think we were all a little disappointed because we kind of thought the Lord was going to highlight that day a building for us. And there was nothing. We'd even pull into areas thinking, is there something available? No, there's not. Nothing's available in that section. So we went back to King of Kings when we stopped receiving clues. It was over 2 hours, probably 2.5 hours of driving around. And we just ended our time in the little prayer room there at the temple. And we just prayed and we thanked the Lord, trusting him to just clarify, we're going to be faithful. We know you're going to lead us. The next day, I drive this road, Maple, to my daughter's house because she lives in Benson. And there were a bunch of clues that we hadn't seen on our little treasure hunt with Jesus in a snowstorm. Forgot to mention that. And it was snowing. It was a lot of fun. We had some accidents, a few little detours along the way. Yeah. Perfect day, Lord, to go treasure hunting. So I'm driving down the road to Lindsay's house, and all of a sudden, I'm noticing these clues that we had had on, we had written down yesterday, and I still had my notebook sitting next to me in the car, and all of these clues that we never found the day before, I noticed along the street. So I was coming home from Lindsay's, and it's like the Lord is just, they're like highlighted, you know, like a big bright spotlight on a tree in a parking lot, and a big bright spotlight on Boost Mobile, and I just thought, oh my gosh. So I just glanced over into this, I don't even know why, turned right or looked right, and one of our clues seemed to be on this building, so I pulled in, and there's a glass door. That was one of the main points. And there were, like, our little soffit on the outside looks like little green triangles. And I thought, oh my gosh. So I peeked my little head through the window, and I could see into this space that it looked like it was a prayer room. So I thought, well, that's just crazy. I called my husband. I said, come over, and it was for rent. So we just kind of stood here and we prayed, and I called everybody and I said, okay, let's just meet. So we came, sat here, and one of the scriptures the Lord had given us the day before was Ezekiel 37, 24 through 28. I will not go through reading it right now, but the building numbers are 73, so kind of, you know, reverse, 24 to 28. And we thought, could it be that this is the building that the Lord has for us? In that scripture, it talks about the Lord building a sanctuary among his people, and King David would rule over them, and the land that they gave to Jacob. So those names are in there, kind of significant. So I call the real estate agent that's leasing this space, and the agent's name is Jacob, that I talked to. And we meet him out here while he walks us through, blah, 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 tells us how expensive it is. I'm like, well, okay. Oh, awesome. And, you know, Greg and I are like, oh, okay, yes, we'll be in touch. We have no money. And so really, he could have said it's $100 a month, and we would have been like, awesome. and he said, you know, the owner would really like to meet you out here, and his name is David. And he's a Jewish man. So we meet him out here, and okay, so we go months. So we believe that this is our property. From just there were prophetic words. We all had dreams. We felt like the Lord had given us this building. I had a friend. Her husband drove by here to go to work, where he taught school. And he said one day, I drove by that building you were telling us about, and I saw this huge angel standing with his arms around the building. So I saw his back. And I thought, oh my gosh, he's holding the building for us. Like, I really felt like that was just another, confirmation. So the owners wanted a lot of money for this building. So we went back and forth on this building for over 6 months, where they would, and they didn't want to rent to Christians because there had already been a church here and it did not end well, and they had not been faithful and all, you know, just how great Christians can be. So everything was kind of stacked against us, but we had a word, and that's kind of where I want to go. We were pregnant with a word from the Lord, and that word gave us confidence that we prayed, we declared, we agreed with what God said, and then we waited. So here's the big point. Waiting is action. Waiting is not just sitting, oh, God will do whatever he's going to do. Waiting is taking the authority that we have in Christ. It's standing on what we've heard. It's believing, God, this is what you've said. We went through, we did prayer we prayed for it. We prayed for this building every single day corporately as we met together. And we individually, we had all the words written down. We carried the prophetic words with us, the dreams, the things that we had heard, we carried them with us for that whole entire time. And we believed God, and we circled this building, like we literally circled it, and then we circled it in prayer. We kept believing that this is what God had said. So there wasn't a point, even though they're saying, no, 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 we're not going to give it to you. Nope, this is how much we want. We just really kept our hearts believing that if this is the building God has for us, and we believed it was, that he was going to open up and make a way. After 6.5 months of that, which was 9 months completely total from when we left the hub, so it was almost 40 weeks exactly of a woman giving birth. It was one day, David, I get an email from Jacob, and he's like, David is agreeing to everything that you want, and he'll give it to you for the price you want. Can you meet him tomorrow to sign? Yes. Yep, we sure can. And we met him here, and we signed the lease for the space. But we wanted just a 1 year. We wanted it for $2,000 a month, which, you know, all that's in faith, just gonna say, and we still, that's still our contract. After the year when we re-signed, David had said to us, he sent an email to Greg and said, we have loved having One Hop as tenants. Kristen gets the rent paid before it's even due. They have made such improvements to the building. It is our pleasure to continue at the same rate on this lease for 2 more years. So we have changed we changed what they thought about Christians. And the crazy thing, what we found out later, is the same Goldberg family that sold the Truman property to IHOP is the same Goldberg family that leased us this space. So there is a cool connection between us and them. So we have learned, and that's just, I have so many stories of this in my own personal experience of this shameless audacity, never giving up, never changing what I'm hearing God say, no matter how it ends up, because I have a lot where it didn't end up with the great glorious ending that we're able to share today. But there's a faithfulness before the Lord, how we carry it, how we carry the word he gives us. So that's where I want to go today. I'm going to read you a quote from Andrew Murray because I just love it and I forgot to put it on the notes. I'll send it in the email this week. When you get a promise from God, it is worth just as much as its fulfillment. A promise brings you into direct contact with God. Honor him by trusting the promise and obeying him. If there is some preparation that you still need, God knows about it. And if there's anything that is to be opened up to you, he will do it if you count upon him to do it. So that to me is just, it's such a great confirmation of kind of this shameless audacity. First of all, I just want you to know Jesus, he loves when we come before him boldly. He loves when we don't give up. And we're going to look at Luke 11, but it's ask, seek, and knock. And it's that continuing asking, seeking, knocking, never giving up, like little children who never, ever give up when they want something. So here we go. This is how we do it. We abide. John 15 is amazing. But it's that vine. We have the branch life. Our branch is connected to the vine. So we plant ourselves in the secret place. And in this way, we encounter the Lord speaking to us. We will hear from him if we position our hearts before him. So you will receive, we all get words from him, promises from him. Could be a prophetic word that you're believing for. Could be a scripture that God's highlighted to you. It might be something that you've heard in the secret place. It might be a promise from God, whether it's from scripture or whether it's from something that he's just, you know, he's spoken it to you in those quiet, still moments with him. This is what I call, it's pregnancy. We get pregnant with something. And I'm going to talk a lot about that because as a mom, you know, I've experienced that. And that changes everything. When you're pregnant, it changes all your focus. Pregnancy, when you have a baby in your womb, all you think about is the baby in your womb from the moment of conception until birth. So I want us to have that same feeling of when you get a promise from the Lord, when you get a word from the Lord, when you have a scripture that you feel like God has put into your heart, let it be like it's this pregnant thing, that this thing that's rising up within you that almost takes over, and not in a wrong way, takes over your thought life, takes over your prayer life. So, okay, might be months, might be years, might be decades, though, before that word comes full term and you deliver it. But we have a responsibility to carry that word completely until then. So it's in this place of deep desires. It's those deep desires in the heart that cause us in that desperate place to cry out, cause us to continue to carry the word, cause us that's coming back. One of the things Monday nights, the Lord's just been laying on my heart on Monday nights in our intercession sets, praying for the prodigals. It's our night we pray for children. And I can't get out of praying for those who have wandered from faith, because as parents, the highest joy of every parent's life is that their children would walk with the Lord and there would be that legacy that continues. So even on Monday nights, I feel like I'm carrying this, the promises that God's given to parents, the promises God's given to families, mothers and fathers, to stand, or sons and daughters to stand for their parents, and whatever that looks like. Like, this is, we come with this desperation of believing what God has said and reminding him of what he said, and we stand in that place. So I just want to, just Hannah is our great example that I just want to bring up here. She cries to the Lord, and again, it's about a child, and she's praying in the temple for her son. I think there's more connected to it than that, but that's, I'm going to pull it simply in that. And Eli actually gives her what she needed. She needed a word from the Lord. She needed to know that her prayers had been heard from by God. And his response to her in 1 Samuel 1, he says to her in verse 17, after he's hearing her pray, and he says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." Many times we will be pressing in for things, and the Lord doesn't give us what we want at first. What he gives us is a word that we can have birthing in our heart. After Hannah receives this word from Eli, she gets up, and all of a sudden her whole entire focus has shifted. Verse 8 tells us, she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She hadn't received a child, but she received a word about having a child. So nothing changed for her in that moment physically, but a word from God changed everything, because now she's pregnant with a promise. Same thing happened, and I'm just going to come back to our example of one hop. Same thing happened with us. We do a pray and seek. We really don't have any idea. The Lord shows us this building. It's highlighted. And now we don't have the building, but we have a promise. We have a word. And now we're pregnant with a promise from God. So it comes from this place of abiding. Jesus said in that John 15, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you." So asking what you desire and then seeing God do it for you, that's the partnering of faith. We ask, he gives us something to hold on to, and now we stand in faith. We stand with believing God is faithful to do what he has promised. Faith gets an answer from God. Let these words of Christ abide in you, the promises, the prophetic word, the scriptures, whatever is burning in your heart, let it abide in that place. And in that scripture where I have it underlined, "my words abide in you," Jesus' words, it's that Greek word rhema, which means that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. It could be the word of God, scripture, or it could be what you've heard in that secret place time. It could be a prophetic word that has been delivered to you by another. And that word abide, it means we hold on to it. It's kept continually. So this realm of faith is accessed. We draw near to Jesus. We hear him. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. And then we hold and we keep those words. And we allow them to abide in our hearts. One of the scriptures I have for my family, one of them is the Joshua scripture, "As for me and my whole household, we will serve the Lord." There's another one in Isaiah that Isaiah says, my wife and my children, we are signs and symbols that there is a God in Israel. And I stand on those promises. I have taken those, and I'm using those in my family. And I stand and I let those words abide in me. My family, my children, my children's children, we are signs and symbols that there is a God and he is alive. And people can look at our lives and see the goodness of the Lord. So this place of abiding, this is the first way that we abide, we get the words, we ask the Lord, "God, let those words just grow deep in my heart." And that all comes from that secret place. This time with the Lord, it has to be the highest priority in our lives. We can't miss it. We can't skip a day because we're so busy. We have to carve out, "God, it is most important that I hear from you, that I hear from you about every area of my life." Carrying his words, page 2, is what shapes our desires and our prayers so we get answers from God. Okay, here we go. This is how we do it. We agree. It has 4 elements. I'm going to go through this fast. I put all kinds of notes in there because I want you to live in this place of agreement. Agreement is, I will tell you, probably the last over the last 10 years, this has shaped my life in God. This is what I've learned. So here we go. We pray it. This is our agreement with the Lord. What has he spoken? The word you receive has to become the fuel for your prayer life. What has Jesus said? What is he saying? What are you believing God for? Pray what God says about you, about your calling, about your children, about your finances, about your city, about your nation, about your future, about your marriage, about your occupation. I was driving the other day and I was praying for one hop, and I was just driving, and the Lord said, you are shifting the atmosphere in the city by what you're doing at the house of prayer. And it was like, oh my gosh. We've been saying it, but the Lord spoke it to my spirit. And all of a sudden, now I will pray with a confidence I have not prayed before. I am standing on that. And I'm driving around, I'm reminding the Lord, you're shifting. By what we do, we're part of a shift in the atmosphere in this city. So we agree with what God is giving us. So get in that place. Ask God, what does he want to say about your kids? What does he want to say about your marriage? What does he want to say about your job? What does he want to say about your future? What does he want to say? Go through. What does he want to say about your calling, about your each child specifically? The Lord has given me from the womb, I prayed, oh God, give me a word. I want a word for my kids that I can just hold onto, anchored in when I don't see it being manifest in life, and it's, the roller coasters of what it looks like to raise children. So we want to be in that place. So we pray it. We ask, we seek, and we knock. When we've got it, we change the way we talk. The second way you carry the word of the Lord is our language lines up with God's language. So when the Lord speaks, we no longer have permission to say anything but what he has said. So no longer can I drive around the city of Omaha and think, gosh, I wonder if what we're doing is making any impact. My words will align with what God has spoken. We're shifting the atmosphere in the city of Omaha. God, I just thank you that we are shifting the atmosphere in the city of Omaha. God, I thank you that your work is being done in the city. God, I thank you that prodigals are returning. I thank you that the church is being strengthened. I thank you that people are getting saved. Like, we make a difference. So what has the Lord spoken to you? I know what God has said about each one of my children. So no matter if I'm seeing it manifest in their lives or not, I cannot partner with the enemy. I can't partner with my flesh. Oh no. I can't go freaking out about what I'm seeing in the natural. My language lines up with what God has spoken. And this is really hard because we live in a world where our words just kind of run and we just say whatever we want. So we don't want to contradict by our words what God has said by his word. Zechariah and Mary, two examples in Luke 1. The angel comes to Zechariah. You're going to have a son. His name is going to be John. Your wife is going to be pregnant. And he's like, what? How could that possibly be? The result? God shuts his mouth until that baby's born. The Lord cannot have Zechariah not agreeing with what God has spoken. And if he had continued to speak, it would have been, well, do you think that's really going to happen? There would have been a disagreement between the word that God had spoken and then what John would say. So to make that clear, the Lord just shut his mouth. Contrast that to Mary. God gives Mary the word, the angel gives Mary the word about this baby that she's going to conceive. She doesn't understand it, but her response is Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. This is our response in everything. I'm the Lord's servant. May this word that you've given me, let it be fulfilled. This promise that I'm standing on, let it be fulfilled. I'm going to change the way I talk. The Bible is very clear about what God thinks of us and the plans he has for us. But unfortunately, for many of us, it doesn't change the way we talk. I mean, I'm guilty of this. I think it'll be a learning curve until we see him face to face. Don't speak from our emotions, our feelings. The truth is more real than what we feel. And this is that Bill Johnson quote I've used before in our teaching here. Bill Johnson says, I cannot afford to have a thought in my head about me that Jesus doesn't have in his head about me. Same with my kids, same with my husband, same with my coworkers, same with the people driving in the car in front of me on the street when they're going really slow. The promise is a God for your life. may not have fully manifested yet, and you may not be able to see them with your eyes, but when you know what God says, or you've heard a word from the Lord, change the way you think and the way you talk so that your life aligns with what he says. So this is my charge to you, to line up your language, my language, with his language. So here's our agreement. We pray what he is saying. We change the way we talk, and we make it the main thing. The next thing we do is we make this word of the Lord the central focus. Now, I don't take all of my words that the God's given me over my children, all of the words he's given me over calling and all that at the same time. We know our seasons, and there are times when the Lord highlights right now, this is who I want you to be praying for. This is what I want you to be burning in your heart. This is what, I feel this pregnancy thing inside of me rising up. So imagine taking a pregnancy test and then thinking pregnancy will just be a side issue in your life. There's not a mother on the planet, not a woman on the planet. Then when she takes a pregnancy test, all she thinks about is everything about that baby. Takes care of her body because of that baby. Thinks about what color will his eyes be? What color will his hair be? Will it be a boy? Will it be a girl? Will he look like me? Will he look like daddy? You know, just all of that. So the word of the Lord is not something that we visit once in a while. It's to be the main thing that we carry, that we keep, that we hold close to us. Romans 4:17, one of my favorite scriptures, is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. So we reach into nowhere. This is what that scripture says. We reach into nowhere and we grab hold of nothing. And then we hold on until it becomes something. That's how we call forth life. So whatever situation, whatever area, whatever you're believing God for, you stand in that place of that God who gives life. He calls those things that are not as though they are. We partner with his words and we make it the main thing. And the last thing is we prepare for it. So faith is active. When we believe God, we begin to prepare what he tells us to prepare for. So what is the Lord telling you? And then what are you doing about it? How can you be faithful to prepare? Pregnancy. We find out we're going to have a baby. All of a sudden, which room are we going to make the baby's room? Okay, we have to get a crib. You know, you prepare for the birth. So as you're praying for and believing God for things, how are you preparing in the spirit? How are you preparing in your thought life? How are you preparing in the natural? And sometimes people don't prepare for a word that they've received from the Lord because of several factors. And this now gets into our shameless audacity when we need to stand. Because it is one thing to be excited in the natural about a pregnancy. But if you lose that baby and then you have to do it again, or you're the one who's hoping to get pregnant, and every month you're not getting pregnant. How do you keep from getting disappointed? How do you keep preparing? How do you keep agreeing? How do you keep abiding in that word that God's given you? How do you keep praying it when you're not seeing it being fully manifest? So the way that we can see that in the natural, in my pregnancy terminology, we want to prepare for it in the spirit when we're believing something. So it's not like when we got that word from the Lord about this building, it's not like we came over and started bringing furniture over. You know, we're just going to line it all up out here and just get ready for the doors to open. I mean, we had wisdom, but we stood and we prayed it and we declared it and we believed it, and we didn't let disappointment or discouragement or confusion or even failure affect what we were standing and believing for. So here's what can happen. Unbelief. Well, after a while, I don't really believe the word. And I can really tell if someone believes the word or not because I can see what they're doing. I can see what they're saying. I can see how they're preparing. Noah, here's some examples. Noah believed God. There would be no reason to understand that because there was no water pouring out of the sky. And for 120 years, he built an ark. We don't even know how many times he had conversations with God, but God gave him a word and he went and he took care of it and he did it. Hannah stopped crying and went home expectant from a word. Not because she was pregnant, but from a word, a promise. Abram, here's my favorite. Scripture says of Abram, this is what I've carried through many of my seasons of this shameless audacity. It says of him, well, first of all, he believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That's Genesis 15:6. He believed the Lord. So that's what I want that to be said about me. In Romans 4, against all hope, and that word hope is natural hope. There's a distinction. Abraham in hope, that's spirit hope, supernatural hope. You know, because in the natural, some things just don't look like they could happen, but in the spirit, we know they can. He believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. And here it is, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise to God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is, if you are in a position right now in your life that you are holding on, that you're needing this persevering prayer, highlight this, write it on a note card, let that be what you meditate on. I will not waver through unbelief. I know the promise that you've given me. I'm standing on the promise because you're faithful. It has nothing to do with me. You're faithful. But I'm going to contend. I'm not giving up. So unbelief is sometimes an issue that causes us not to really carry the word of the Lord. Second one is, you know what? Sometimes we just don't want to do all the hard work of faithfulness in those small things. When the Lord gives a big word, it's key to be faithful in the small things. Do not think small things are beneath you or not worth your time, because small things, these little bits, are faith in action. Here's an example. David, anointed king by Samuel, and what did he do? He went back to the field as a shepherd, to shepherd the sheep, serve his father, and then he served King Saul. So he held that word and he carried it in his heart, staying faithful to the Lord, knowing God's timing is perfect. Joseph had dreams about the Lord, about his future, but he maintained faithfulness in the small things of prison, and then Potiphar's house, and then the palace. So we want to be faithful with the little, we want to just keep staying faithful to the Lord. Third is indecision. Not wanting to do the wrong thing, so we make no decision. No decision is almost the wrong decision. Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the bags of gold. The wealthy man goes on a journey, gives those 5 bags of gold to one servant, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to another. And the servant with the 1 bag of gold buries it, hides it in the ground because of fear. And the other servants put that money to work so that each doubled their original amount. And the wealthy man returns. Those who had been entrusted with the 5 bags and the 2 bags, they brought all of their gain to the wealthy man. And the master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. There's that faithfulness. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But to the servant who buried the 1 bag of gold out of fear, the master said, you wicked, lazy servant. And the master took the bag of gold from that servant and gave it to the one who had 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So we want to engage with what the Lord has spoken to us. We don't want to be full of indecision. We want to say, God, what do we do next? How do I prepare? What is a way that I can prepare in the natural? I can prepare in the spirit so I don't get disappointed. I don't get lazy. I don't get fearful. I just want to keep going. And the last one is that fear of failure. Sometimes we think failure is the worst thing. So we set our lives up to never fail. We set our lives up to be comfortable. The difference between men and women of God who make an impact on history and those who didn't is that those who made an impact on history weren't afraid to fail. You know, they just stepped out. If you read any of the biographies of the people of history, they've all made some mistakes, but they were willing to risk. So we want to go after the things that God has spoken, even if it sounds scary. Don't let the fear of failure, don't let it paralyze us from acting on what God has said. And even if it doesn't work out, because I have plenty of examples that didn't work out, I'm still moving forward because I was trusting the Lord. Like there's a faithfulness that, and I've experienced things with the Lord and my life in God has grown to greater maturity even when what I was believing and standing for didn't actually play out the way that I had thought because of faithfulness, of just being real before him, being present and waiting and standing and believing him and allowing myself to be in a place of if I fail, it's okay because I learn a lot from that place of failure, which really isn't failure. You're still moving forward because we're in the kingdom. Okay, so in those seasons of delay, this is the last little bit. When we've got our word, so we've been abiding, we got our word, we are standing on our word, we're believing the promises of God, He's faithful, I'm doing all that I can, and now we are decades in, like Abraham and Sarah were. 25 years, he received a promise, 25 years before Isaac was born. 25 years he held the word from God that he would have a son. 25 years of believing, not allowing unbelief, not wavering in unbelief, but being strengthened. Like that, what kind of faith? That's what I want to be known as. So in those seasons of delay, God develops our trust in him in those seasons when the answers don't come like we think they should. Part of those seasons, it can be very challenging and it can be very confusing, and people can lose heart in these seasons. Luke 11 and Luke 18, those are the go-tos when you are feeling like, I just don't know. I don't know. It's been so long. I don't understand. And we are told by Jesus to not stop. I'm going to read Luke 11, 5, and I'm just going to kind of go to, I think it's verse 10. Jesus is teaching on prayer. So he's taught, it's kind of the Lord's Prayer in this portion of scripture to connect with Matthew 6. But he does a little insert here. So he starts with the Lord's Prayer and then boom, he gives us a nugget of what to do in prayer. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, here's Jesus, ask, asking, 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 it will be given to you. Seek, seeking, 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 you'll find. Knock, knocking, 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 and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus is telling us, have shameless audacity. Come before me, brazen. Come before me with boldness, willing to take risks, being daring, being fearless, confident before me. This is what we are to do. These seasons of delay, God puts them in our lives to grow us. And we may think, well, that's not fair. But you know, every parent does not give their child what they want sometimes the first time they ask. Sometimes there is a process. And you know, if every parent, I will tell you, I am the product of parents who never let their child fail. My mom and dad wanted my life to be so comfortable and so full of happiness and so full of joy that any time that I was going to fail, they rescued me. And it did not serve me well getting into my young adult life. Knowing that, when my kids were younger, Kevin Lehman has a term, he was my one of my parenting gurus I followed. Kevin Lehman has a term, you pull the rug out from under their feet when they're in your home. Because you want them to fail so that you're there to help them pick up the pieces. But part of that, God does that with us. He wants us to be mature. There's a place of faith. We can't take the same level of faith that we get when we first come to Jesus that's going to carry us through to meet him in glory. So there are seasons of delay that come in our life. These divine appointments where God's really saying, come on, I want you to press in. I want you to press in. I'm not going to give you what you want right now because I want you to press in. I've got so much more for you. But this level of faith you have right now, it's not going to carry you into the next season. So I've got to do some pressing. I've got to see how much do you want it? How badly do you want me? Do you want me more than that thing you're asking me for? So this is that shameless audacity. We keep coming. And part of the asking and asking and seeking and seeking and knocking really gives clarity to what we really are wanting. Because we only keep going after the things that we want with desperation. After a while, if there's things that we don't need anymore or want, they just kind of, you know, peter out. But those things that God's put in our heart that we're carrying in pregnancy, in this place of wanting to birth, those we will be before his throne in confidence. Last little bit. Why do people stop? We don't want to be those people. Matthew 11, Jesus said, blessed is the man who is not offended by me. So whether he answers or not, we make a choice. We have walked through seasons where every morning I got up and everything in my world was falling apart. And I said, God, I will not be offended by you. Today, I choose to not be offended by you. By what you do, by what you say, I will not be offended by you. I know what your promises are for our family, but what I'm seeing right now doesn't look at all like any of those promises, but I choose to not be offended by you. Some people stop, they get discouraged, which is usually based around a lie they've believed. God doesn't really love me. God can't really provide for me. Does God even care about my situation or this relationship? Why isn't this urgent to you, God? God, are you really good? Because if you were good, why would you put me in this spot? These are things, this is just personal stuff laying out here. So we can get discouraged. Remember, he sees the bigger picture. If there's an area of your life where you're feeling discouraged, I want you this week to ask God to reveal if there's any lie that you are believing in that area of your life. Because we are not to be a people discouraged. We are to walk fully encouraged by the Lord because we've got the hope of the world who lives inside of us. So if there's areas in your life where you're feeling this place of discouragement, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any lie that you might be believing. Another reason people stop, they get confused. They're looking for answers. We look for answers and we come to the wrong conclusions. Confusion makes us very vulnerable to the lies, very vulnerable to the enemy. In seasons of delay, the values we believe get really challenged and tested, refined by the fire so that we come out with that gold. And we can get strengthened like Abraham, or what we have believed will get torn down. Last little thing that can happen why people stop is they get distracted. We can't allow our lives to get distracted. Keep yourself focused. Stay in that Luke 11, Luke 18. We will receive what we've been praying for. We keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking. Be confident as you come to the Father because he loves you. Maturing happens when we don't give up. A couple practicals. Don't get isolated. Stay connected to people. Don't get wrong thinking. Trust that God is working behind the scenes to get things into place for the manifestation of what you're praying. Perseverance is a great quality. Jesus tells us that. Shameless audacity opens the doors of breakthrough. Don't give up too soon. What if Joshua and the Israelites only marched around Jericho 5 times instead of 7 on that last day? You know, would walls have fallen down? Like, we want to stay faithful. Continue to pray and worship. During seasons of delay, this is something that the Lord has spoken to me. My worship and prayer in those seasons are such gifts to him because it's such a sacrifice and it's so hard. And we keep filling up those bowls because there's a point. It's going to tip. So we just keep going. We just keep filling. We agree with God. That empowers and releases truth in our heart. What are you meditating on? What thoughts flow through your mind? And let that secret place become the place of intimacy, that watering hole. That's our place of reflection. It's where we gaze on something. We meditate on it. And I'll let you just kind of finish that. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I just thank you that, God, I thank you that you want us to grow up and that you allow these seasons of delay, even while we stood and we waited for this building. God, I thank you for this building that you opened up to us. And I thank you, God, that it was only 6 months of waiting and believing and praying and standing and declaring. God, would you continue to give us strength while we wait? Give us words. Give us promises. Give us those pregnant moments and thoughts and ideas and prophetic words that are so alive in us that we stand in the place of waiting for them to be manifest and to come forth in birth. But God, let us not be people that give up, lose heart, lose focus. Keep us moving in the direction of your kingdom. Keep us connected to one another. And God, let us be a people that said, we will not be offended by you. And Jesus, we trust you because you are the one who will fulfill all the promises that you've given us. We stand unwavering in belief, strengthened in our faith as Abraham. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sorry, that was I just had so much I wanted to